Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Televangelist Podcast. I am your host, R.C. Carlton, and I have a very special guest with me today. I have YouTube sensation, E-Man of E-Man's Movie Reviews. How are you today, E-Man?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you so much for having me.
I hear that. You're trying to have some church in here already. And then my podcast name is a play on church references. It's good to see somebody else raised in the church. Before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to remember that you can rate and subscribe. I hope that you rate and subscribe this podcast network. It is the Televangelist Podcast. It's a part of a larger podcast network called the IB Network. And Emmanuel or E-Man, before we start, tell everybody where we can find you.
Look, like you said, E-Man, just like He-Man, except without the H, Movie Reviews. You can Google it and you will find me everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and definitely YouTube. Definitely come and check me out. Just Google E-Man's Movie Reviews and you will find me.
All right, so let's just get, and just for those of my guests who don't know you, but you have a bigger presence than I do, but if they don't know you, you mainly do, you do some more serious movies, but it seems like your bread and butter is like the pop cultural, the fan, the geekdom, as I say. How did you get started with everything you do?
Whew, man, so, funny thing is, I always believe that everybody's a critic, right? Everybody's a movie critic. If you have an opinion, you're a movie critic. The only thing is, I didn't know I was one. What was it, like in 2013? I think I had went out, saw a movie, just like anybody else. I was on Facebook, and I posted my thoughts. And, a week later, did the same thing. A week after that, did the same thing. Said what I liked, what I didn't like, etc. Then for a couple weeks, like, I kind of stopped, and my friends would hit me up like, yo, like, what are you doing? Like, are you going to finish telling us, like, what you thought about this movie or whatever? So I was like, oh, I didn't know y'all cared. I didn't know y'all was checking for this. So, I started posting a little bit more, and then people were like, man, you really got to have your own website. So I went and made a website. Then they was like, man, you really need, like, a fan page or something, to put your thoughts together. And I was like, oh, okay. So I made E-Man's Movie Reviews. After 2013? I think my first YouTube video might have been 2015 or something like that. Don't go look that up. Once I started doing that and I started, getting more exposure to allowing my creativity, to take form, because I started writing reviews just like a film critic. But what I really didn't understand at that time was the fact that I really wanted to be a content creator that happens to love movies. So I started to expand and do bring my critiques to YouTube and along with the written stuff. And beyond that, I started, expanding and doing theories. I had no idea. People really, really love theories. So you're right, like the nerddom out there really started to expand once I started tapping into that. I would do, of course, major movies that would come out. But whenever it started coming to the superhero stuff, the nerdy stuff, the sci-fi stuff, that's what really started to pick up. And 150 something videos back then, and now we're here at like 93,000 fans and subscribers, and it's been a wild ride, and I love it. I'm super appreciative for it.
What kind of pop culture, or I guess pop cultural, or could be superhero stuff, but what kind of stuff, movies, pop culture, entertainment, what kind of stuff did you like growing up?
I think I liked anything that would drive my imagination. So, of course, obviously animated stuff was, number one. Looney Tunes, G.I. Joe, Power Rangers, like whatever things out there that was tapping into fantasy, Like those were the things that I like grew up with as a young kid. And then like as I became a little bit older, I mean, The Matrix blew me away. Yeah. You know, that just killed my mind. I watched that thing 50 times. I still never understood what the architect was saying, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was stuff like that. And then I started realizing like, oh my gosh, I think I love movies. You know, like, because I was just consuming everything, you know. So the only difference was I just started realizing, like, oh, I could actually articulate what I'm thinking. And that's the real difference. Like, sometimes people like stuff and they're like, man, I really like it, but I don't know why, you know. And I just realized, like, man, because I've been so deep into all this stuff, I can actually say what I like about it and why. And, you know, that's kind of like the small difference. But, you know, like that, to your question, it's one thing to say what I grew up with, but because it's been so vast, it's hard to even say what's your favorite, because I love horror. I love sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I love dramas. You know, comedies I'm a little iffy on, just because, you know, comedy is subjective. And, you know,
I'm kind of like that too, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, what works for you might not work for me, yeah, vice versa, you know.
And to me, there's nothing worse. To me, there's nothing mm-hmm. worse than you watching a comedy and you don't laugh. Mm-hmm. You know? So mm-hmm. if I watch Die Hard, I know John McClane's going to jump out the building every time, and visually, that's going to work. The worst action movie, at least it accomplishes that goal of eye candy and blowing up in fights. But if something's not funny... It's like it failed the mission. You failed the city.
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, you have one job as a
comedy. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Like, if you don't make me laugh, what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. What's our point? What's our purpose?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
And obviously, you saw mm-hmm. my Facebook post. I mean, you saw who I was. I assume you saw what I was. But mm-hmm. we're both African Americans, if people couldn't mm-hmm. tell. What does it look like? And you do well. I saw you're a big wig. You get the screeners or the Snyder cut and stuff. but I see you've had great interviews I've looked at lately. So you're in that circle of influencers with movies and have be somewhat influential. What's it like to be a black man in those circles?
No different. When I tell you there's still hierarchies, there's still challenges. We all within that industry, within this industry, within this space, we still have to work twice as hard. You know, I could tell you this right now. If I were a blonde, white, pretty girl, I would skyrocket on YouTube. I just would, just because the demographic is predominantly white males, you know. I don't know, it's just a given advantage, you know, because our black sisters are not rising as much, you know, in that space. And I would argue some of them have like really great content, mm-hmm. if not better than the more popular people that are out there, you know, like that. So, you know, like everything that I've done to get to this point, when I tell you, like, it has been nothing short of like a grind, when it comes to time, energy, money, you know, like I've put a lot of time and money into promoting myself, into marketing, buying t-shirts, you know, just to get my name out there for people, you know, paying for ads just to promote, because you can make something, you can write something, but it doesn't matter if no one knows you exist.
Exactly.
You know, you still have to push it out there. So, you know, making networking, you know, doing networking, joining organizations, trying to do whatever I could do, leveraging relationships, you know, like, hey, I'll, you know, collaborate with you here and, you know, you do something for me. And, but that is something that has taken years to cultivate, that unfortunately, you know, our non-people of color counterparts, not to say that they don't work, but they do have more advantages than we do. For example, there was a period of time, especially with YouTube, where I did not want to put my face on my thumbnails, because I noticed that if I were to put, let's say I was talking about, you know, the X-Men movie back in the 2000s. If I put my face up there, I'm not getting a lot of hits. But if I put Hugh Jackman's face up there by himself, now it was almost like I had to trick people into watching my video. And then they'd be like, oh my God, he's black? Oh, okay. All right, but let
me see what he's got. Like, oh, okay, I'm here now.
I'm here now. Let me see. But, you know, the fact that people were prejudging ahead of time, and you know, this wasn't like a one-off thing. I tried this with multiple videos just to test my theory. And for a long time, I started realizing, like, oh man, like people, I'm just not getting any traction whenever I put my face on there, except when it's a black topic. Uh-huh. If it was a black topic or subject matter, now everybody wants to hear, you know, from the black man, you know, which I'm cool with that too, because the other thing that I've kind of embraced is I don't have a problem, because, and this is super ironic, I had no idea, but I have a large following of white conservative people, you know, which is fine.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
But I, if you were to ask me, like, yo, who are your followers? I'd be like, man, it's a bunch of, you know, it's a good mix. It's everybody, but not like a large majority.
Why do you think that is?
But man, look, I don't even know. I don't know. I can't even tell you. I don't know. Because it's not like I dog whistled anyone. It's not like you know, do anything. I mean, I think the persona I give off, and this has always been what I've strove for, was I want to be no different than like your friend. You know, like if you go to a movie, or if I go see something, and I'm like, hey man, let me tell you about a movie that you got to go see. It should be no different than one of your boys talking to you, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I'm just that one black friend for some people, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I'm non-confrontational. I don't know, whatever it is. I'm grateful for people to just watch, period. But, you know, I also use that opportunity to educate, you know, and to inform and to increase awareness on things. So, for example, Lovecraft Country that was coming on HBO, you know, it was a predominantly black show, dealt with racism, Jim Crow racism at that. But I used that series in my videos to be an educational tool as well. You know, like, yeah, you might be watching it for the horror elements and all the other entertainment, but I'm also going to tell you about the Tulsa Massacre that inspired this. I'm also going to tell you about, you know, the sundown towns, you know, that they were running away from. Like, just giving people a little bit more than they normally would, because that's my unique perspective, you know, that I can share with people. So as a black man, we still have challenges. And it's not just me, because, you know, it's a lot of intersectionality that goes on here. But yeah, for me specifically, you still have unique challenges that other people that are not black don't have to face. And I'll give you just one other example real quick. I have to block, you know, because YouTube gives you the option to censor certain words. Mm-hmm. I have to go in there and say, you can't say the N-word, you know, like, or certain variations of it. Because when I first started, it was up there.
Jesus.
Like, people would just comment for no reason. They didn't even watch the video. Oh, you N-word, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what did I even do? What happened?
Like, I feel like YouTube has cleaned it up a little bit.
I didn't even say anything controversial.
But YouTube is a cesspool. The comment section used to be the lowest form of human life imaginable.
So that's something, but that in itself, the fact that I have to go put that word in my censor box, that's not something a white person would ever have to do. You know, that's not something that they would even think about having to do, you know? So it's little things like that, like the thumbnails and the censorship, and, you know, it's little things like that. Not to mention, these are not things that, let's say you wanted to become a YouTuber or a podcast or whatever. When you go watch these videos that are out there that say like, hey, here's how you can get 1,000 subscribers or whatever, they're not telling you these things because they don't know about them, you know? So unfortunately, for people of color, like, we get into this space and we have to kind of take care of each other, because nobody else really is geared to helping, you know, with those unique challenges. So sorry, that is a very long answer.
For no, it was important. I wanted to hit this because we had that in common, yeah. And I'm striving on some level to do what you do, or not necessarily on YouTube, but with podcasting and Facebook and things like that. So let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the fun stuff. Okay. By the time this podcast airs, the Snyder Cut, I doubt everybody will have seen it because it's 4 hours or 4.5 hours, but it will be available to be seen. You could say as much as you want, depending on how you feel about it and your obligations, but what did you think of it?
Look, you know, first I should say that I am a Zack Snyder fan. Like, I love what this man does because I think he is a brilliant visual storyteller. With that said, because I'm such a fan of his, I've seen everything he's done. I've analyzed this man's work. I also recognize he has a lot of flaws too. Yeah. You know, and this is something that I can be honest about and still enjoy his work, but there's a segment of people out there that, like, if you just mention any flaws, you hate everything and yeah. you're just a Marvel fanboy and you're this and you're that. And I'm like, no, it's called nuance. You know, like, I can love and enjoy something and still critique it, you know, because, you know, especially, and this is something that's been consistent. If you've watched Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, you see the tendency. So because I know his style, because I know what I'm going to get from him, watching the Snyder Cut there was nothing really surprising to me, you know? So for me, I liked it. I gave it a positive rating, but I'm not head over heels for it the way some other people are, you know? So I'm kind of that guy in the middle. I'm like, yeah, no, it's good. But we got to talk about the fact that it's way too long. Yeah, and when I say it's way too long, I'm not talking about, like, having a 4-hour movie is a problem. What I'm talking about is it's a problem for him specifically because he has the issue of wanting to add more stuff than needs to be. There are a lot of scenes in this that could have easily been cut out. And when I say that they could be cut out without compromising what he's trying to accomplish. You know, like, if you're trying to show us that, the people in this town really love Aquaman, like, we get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a folk hero. They're surrounding him and all this. We get it. We don't need a full minute of some girl singing about him and sniffing his sweater. That's weird. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, message already received. We don't need that, you know? So it's little things like that when you pile that on. That's like, man, you could have made this great if it was just 3.5 hours, you know. But again, you know, that's more the critic in me talking. Outside of that, look, the battles, fantastic, you know, because of the visual effects, the colors, the way everything pops, and the action is just ridiculous. You know, so it's like, if you were a fan of his previous stuff, you're going to like this. You know, like, I don't care if you're even one of those Marvel fanboys and you hate DC. I don't see how anyone can say that this was a terrible movie. It's not, you know. Is it long? Yes. Does it have other flaws? Yes. But it's still visually captivating, you know, and it tells a cohesive story. We get so much more background with Cyborg, who got robbed.
Shafted.
I mean,
yeah,
my goodness, this man had like 30 minutes of straight up good footage that never made it in the other, you know, theatrical release. So, I mean, when you watch it, it's like there's more emotion in this movie compared to the other one. So that's a positive. You know, we're getting all the backstories for the heroes. The flashback with Darkseid and the battles and stuff. Like I said, the battles are just nuts. They're just on point. But yeah, I mean, it's a better version of what we got in the last movie, despite whatever flaws might exist. And, you know, I think the real advantage is the fact that we get to watch it at home, you know, on HBO Max. If this was a 4-hour thing to watch in theaters, I think it'd be way more taxing on people.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't be as successful. He probably would have to cut old girl, the singing creepy girl, out of it, you know, and make those cuts. But because you get to watch it at home, and if we're being honest, my man had 3 years of listening to criticisms of to adjust, previous movie yeah. to adjust. And I'm like, bro, you got an open book test. You already know what to add in. You already know what to kind of take out. You know, like you got the cheat codes. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like it's trash proof. You know, you can't call it trash. You can't call it a terrible movie because he does everything that needs to be done for it to be at minimum a good movie. The real debate at this point is it a masterpiece? Is it, you know, the next thing besides sliced bread? You know, I'm not that high on it, but I do believe that it is good. It is entertaining. And yeah, I mean, it's worth the watch for sure.
Why do you think DC, and maybe you don't agree, but I think most people generally agree with this, why do you think DC has struggled in the movie realm compared to Marvel? It just seems like the DC movies aren't as well received. And the thing that shocks me about that is I'm a big fan of the DC animated universe. Yeah. And so yeah. to see how before, you know, the Avengers and everything in the MCU, the DC's animated universe was great. But it just seems like passionate. With the movies there, and I'm not as passionate as some fanboys are. Like, I don't have, like, I like them all because they're all superheroes, yeah. you know? But I critique them. But why do you think it seems like it's lacking on their end? Or uneven at best?
I think the very basis is greed. Mainly because they wanted to play catch up with Marvel. And it was kind of like, y'all are running two different races. You know, Marvel had to play the long marathon game because they never had the rights to all their characters. So they had to go back in the bottom of the barrel, you know, take these C and B level characters. Because let's be honest, what nobody, even comic fans, checking for Captain America or Iron Man back in 2008.
Definitely
nobody,
not.
Like, nobody cared. Now we care about them. You know, now their characters are elevated. They got more shine. They're household names. You know, but before that, nobody was checking for them. So they had to do that because they didn't have all the weapons. They didn't have all the tools. DC's got all access to everything and anything. They could literally do whatever they want. But they were in such a rush to try and jump on the Avengers bandwagon that they also mimicked a lot of the strategies that Marvel was doing. So that the same way Marvel gave Joss Whedon the keys to the kingdom with Avengers, they was like, oh man, you can do everything. We gonna let you do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We gonna let you do Avengers 1, Avengers Age of Ultron. You got it. And he was running with it. So DC came around and was like, we want you, Zack Snyder, to be our Joss Whedon. And they gave him the keys to the kingdom. So, yeah, he gave you the Man of Steel. He gave you the Batman versus Superman. He gave you the Justice League. He was a producer on other things like Wonder Woman and stuff like that. Because everything, and Suicide Squad, because everything was supposed to be his vision. It was all supposed to work, you know, one way or another, similar to Marvel. But the greed started to come in because the executives, they started to fall under the pressure of critics. Some critics were saying that things were too dark, and they had to add that Marvel fun. That's why they brought in Joss Whedon to butcher the previous Justice League movie. And it was just, you know, I think at the end of the day, the biggest problem was the fact that they did not trust themselves to follow their own path and to create their own path. They was like, man, they kept looking over their shoulder, you know, at whatever Marvel was doing. And they kept reacting to that rather than just realizing, like, wait a minute. We have two of the most popular named fictional characters in Batman and Superman. If not, you know, with Wonder Woman being, like, top five. Like, we can set the tone. And they just never embrace that. You know, I think they are trying to now. That's why all those execs got fired and replaced. But it had to me, I have to look at the top execs, because like you mentioned earlier, the animated folks, they got it on point. Like, they rarely miss a beat with anything. And they show you how it's done. I mean, if the live action just copied word for word,
I say that all the time. I say that all the time.
It would work, right?
It'd be perfect. So, no problem.
Hopefully this new management does a little bit better. I mean, they're trying with their little standoffs, you know, like Joker. You know, they're trying to kind of do something different. I think the ultimate fix is going to be Flashpoint movie, you know, because if you do Flashpoint and you bring in the multiverse as a studio and comic books, you can pick and choose what works and what doesn't work. And you can rewrite stuff however you like. So hopefully they take advantage of that and they go that route, but I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. Hopefully they get it together soon.
All right, and the show of the moment, even though it's kind of on fumes now, but it's still a little bit in the zeitgeist, is WandaVision. When you're kind of ahead of the general public, because obviously you review movies and you get screeners and you interview people, and this is what you do. You go and you search for things and you want to be in the know. But did you expect WandaVision to capture the public's imagination like it did?
Not at all. I didn't even get it myself. You know, like, because I remember the funny thing is, like, for press, we were only given the first three episodes, you know. So watching the first three episodes, you know, I was like, okay. Like, where is this TV sitcom thing going? You know, Like, how long are we gonna run with this gag, you know? And I will admit, it was a slow start, you know. Like, it wasn't something that just kicked off high octane and, you know, action and all this other crazy stuff, but I think the fact that the weekly format helps, right? The mere fact that we got a mystery, a big huge mystery, and the storytelling was always leaving you on a cliffhanger week after week after week, that changes things dramatically. That changes your experience with the show. You know, it's kind of funny because in my comments when I mentioned, when I reviewed the Snyder Cut, and I was talking about like how long it was and how it's a problem because of the length, people were saying, well, you binged, you know, WandaVision, what's the difference? And I'm like, no, we didn't. No one's
yeah, it's not a binge.
Like,
yeah.
It's not a binge. Like, we watched it week to week to week. And because it was broken up, like, you know, when the big reveal of Quicksilver or whoever happened, Fiatra, we had a whole week to marinate on that and to speculate and to come up with theories and to fantasize and stuff like that. So when stuff like that happens, it changes and alters your experience with the show.
Yeah. If we had a whole week to react to it.
Right.
And theorize and dig deep. And that's what I would do. As soon as the show would go off, I would dig deep and try to find the theory, at least at the beginning, and we'll get to that, but until I realized what was happening. But the first 3 or 4 weeks, like, I was just digging deep, and I enjoyed figuring out the symbolism of Mephisto than I did the actual show. Like, it was like a whole thing. And but you couldn't have gotten that with the binge and the community aspect of researching together and seeing new theories.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, what the Snyder Cut is doing, dropping it all at once, who's going to sit here and be like, all right, let me only watch the first hour? You're not going, like, the movie is meant to be seen in one sitting. That's the way he shot it. Yeah, it's broken up in chapters, but it's, you got it in front of you. What's going to stop you? You know,
bro, so, let me tell you something. Bro, on a personal level, I know I can't do 4 hours. I got a plan to watch a little bit at work. I got a plan.
I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to have to break it up. I can't do it.
I fell asleep. I had to watch it twice. I'm not lying. Like, I watched it. I think I fell asleep at the 2 hour mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I finished it later the next day. But then, you know, I went back and watched it like in the full one sitting for 4 hours. But if you do need a break, the 2 hour mark is a really good point.
That's good to know.
The first 2 hours, are all just set up. They're just, you know, they haven't even put the team together yet.
Jesus.
You know, like, right. Like, they're still trying to work things out, and, you know, but you're getting all this backstory. Mm. You know, you're seeing the backstory for Cyborg, which is great. You're seeing the backstory for Flash, like why he's a hero, you know, or why he's a good hero in the making. You know, so you're seeing all this background stuff going on. And that's what takes so long to, you know, finally get to the real meat and potatoes, you know? So, yeah, I mean, don't feel pressured to watch it in one sitting, but if you do, you know.
I know I'm not, because I couldn't. Yeah. And I'm not a Zack Snyder hater. I'm one of the few people I feel like that defend Man of Steel. I liked it. My kids liked it a lot. They were really strong on it, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I thought it was a good movie.
I liked it too.
Superman, cool. Batman, I didn't hate it. I thought it was flawed. I didn't hate it. So I'm not. But I couldn't get through the Justice League. Like, I never finished it. Every time I tried to watch it, like, I had it on HBO, and every time I tried to watch it, I just couldn't finish it. I
would strongly recommend you do not go read back. Like, don't revisit. Like,
yeah, it's probably going to put a sour taste.
Like, there's no point now.
Gotcha.
You know, because what they did in that movie was so, in hindsight, it's so terrible. Yeah. It's just so.
Yeah, I really couldn't. And I was surprised. Now, I didn't know about all the controversy with Zack Snyder because I don't necessarily follow the geek. I go in and out with geek culture about that kind of stuff. So I didn't follow that he was off the movie and Whedon came on and all that. But back to WandaVision. Now, I had this thing that I figured out. We did a weekly podcast with my partner and I, Keith Fleming. Get well, Keith. He just had neck surgery. But he was big into the theories. About probably week five, maybe, I realized that this isn't going anywhere. This isn't what they're trying to do. Like, the show is not going to be about these theories from far out, bringing these new characters and bringing in the multiverse and bringing in the Fox characters and bringing in Mr. Fantastic. And I realized that. But how caught up did you get into the theories? And when did you realize that maybe our hopes were what we were hoping for, we weren't gonna get?
Now here's the thing, like, you know, I'm a theory maker. You know what I'm saying?
Your bread,
like,
and butter.
One of those guys that's making theories. Now, even though, now the difference though for me, you never saw a single theory from me about Mephisto. The closest you got was I did a theory on potential cameos. Like, if they wanted to bring Mephisto in, this would be a dope person to play that part. That's the most I would say. But for me, it was maybe I want to say it was around the Pietro episode when he came out that I was like, wait a minute. This might be too good to be true. And I was like one of the very few people out there that was like, hey, y'all, I know we know that that's the dude from the X-Men movies. We get that. But the show never confirmed that. The show never said it. And I was pleading with people to kind of be like, hey, look, don't say anything is this or that until the show confirms it. Like, even the Darkhold, the book. I tell people this all the time. Nobody knew that was the Darkhold that was in Agatha's basement. No one knew that. If we have to be honest, no one knew that that was the book, because it looked different from the Runaways and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and other. It looked different from the comics. You know, they changed up the design of it. It could have been any old magic book. We don't know. We were speculating that it was the Darkhold, but it's not until the show actually says, I'm using the Darkhold. Now it's official. And people were kind of blurring the lines with all that stuff. They were thinking so deep into this stuff that they were like forgetting the difference between speculation and confirmation. So for me early on, especially with the Pietro thing, because I was like, I don't believe it. You know, I was like, it seems too good to be true. That was kind of the point for me to be like, maybe we really need to pump the brakes on everything, whether it's mutants, whether Magneto's gonna pop up through the door, whatever. We need to wait until it's confirmed, because otherwise, you know, first of all, we're going to have egg on our face.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're going to be the ones disappointed. And it's not the show's responsibility to deliver on things unless they promise it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And the one thing I will give them some critique on, they promised us the aerospace engineer.
That was dirty. They never gave us that.
That's the one thing I would say, no, y'all dropped the ball there. Because it was in your writing, and I don't care, with these million-dollar projects, y'all don't write lines just to have lines. You don't do that. Every single word and letter in a script is for a reason. So the fact that y'all dedicated three different occasions, you shot footage, you edited it, and you showed us, hey, my engineer friend is coming. Hey, he's on the way. Hey, I'm texting him right now, and he never shows up. That's on y'all. You know, with the Pietro thing, you never said he was from another universe.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
never said he was an X-Men. Y'all never said that. So I can't fault you for that. But that's on us fans to put weight on it. And I'm like, yo, don't put weight on no theories. Have fun with them. But don't put no weight on them, because if they don't pan out, now you're sitting here boo-boo faced. You know, and we don't need to be like that. We could just take it for what it is. And the other more important thing I should also mention is when you start looking at, like you mentioned, we were hoping for mutants, we were hoping for the multiverse and stuff like that. That's a lot of weight for these shows to carry by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to think about it as these shows are about supporting characters that would never get a big time movie,
mm-hmm.
right? So because they're never going to get a big time movie, these shows are dedicated to building up that supporting character. And what do you think would happen? Let's just say Magneto came through, right? Like, just in the comics, you know, he came through at the very end, he saved Wanda, whatever. For us, we're like, yes, mutants exist, Magneto's here, we with it. So now what's going to happen when we don't have like an X-Men movie? Anything else that they show, we're going to be like, where the mutants? When Magneto going to come back? Where's Professor X? Where's Wolverine? We're not even going to care about Falcon or Winter Soldier. We're not going to even care about She-Hulk or Ms. Marvel or Moon Knight. We're going to be so distracted with the bigger reveal thing that we can't even give the attention for the supporting characters that it was intended for. You see what I'm saying? Like, it steals the shine away from them.
Yeah, it does. It makes it too big.
Exactly.
If it had done mm-hmm. what people wanted, you would have had mm-hmm. Reed Richards show up as the engineer.
Yes.
You would have had
yep.
Magneto, Professor X show up,
yep.
Mephisto, and some people even had yep. Al Pacino. I don't know if you heard this one. They said Al Pacino was going to be Mephisto because of Devil's sure. Advocate.
Yeah. Matter of fact, my pick was Keanu Reeves. I was like, why don't y'all make it Keanu Reeves?
Yeah,
For that same reason, you know. But and I joke about this on my videos, and I was saying that, like, if Marvel was left up to us, the fans, the Marvel Cinematic Universe would have been done in 5 years, because we would have put everything in so fast and so much, we would have just been done. We would have been had Doctor Doom. We would have had Galactus already, Fantastic Four. We would have had 5 Blade movies. Like, all of that stuff would have happened in 5 years. And you see Marvel is like, yo, we get it. Y'all want to get to chapter 19 of the book, but we're still writing chapter 4. Like, chill, you know? And that's something I try to remind people is Marvel ain't worried about us. They're not worried about the comic book fans, the comic book movie. They're not worried about us. They worried about, and they have their attention on the non-comic
yep.
book fans. The people, you know, your neighbor, your mom, your dad,
we're going,
your grandma, whoever is watching Black Panther for the very first time, that's who they worried about, because that's new money. You know, if I could bring in somebody new, fresh off the street that ain't never picked up a comic book, but now you want to subscribe to Disney Plus, you want to watch all our other movies and stuff, that's where the money's at. Because guess what? If Marvel drops a mystery movie, you don't even know what it is. You gonna tell me you're not gonna go see that?
Exactly. I'm gonna be there.
You gonna be there? I'll be like, man, I don't know what this is, but Marvel's doing it.
Let's see what it
Let's
is.
Go.
Let's see.
Right? But if you're a new person, you ain't never watched no comics, you don't know nothing, you're not gonna go watch it, right? They know they can hook us. But it's the new people they gotta grab And that's why they make all their shows much more watered down than we would like, much more simplistic. And that's why I try and tell people, like, even if you're trying to come up with a theory for, you know, Marvel, is it the simplest solution?
Yep. That's when I figured it out, because I looked at some videos and I was deep into it, and they were saying Feige, probably some of your competition, I won't name them, but they were saying Feige goes for the simplest solution. And I was like, damn it. I was like, damn it. That's the truth. Yeah. It's always the simplest solution because you want the broadest audience possible.
Exactly.
And honest to God, this comic shit, I love it. I grew up reading comics, but it's dense. Mm-hmm. It's dense.
Oh my God. Dude, in the comics, we've been talking about time travel in the multiverse in the 70s. Yep. 70s and 80s.
And you know,
we're just now talking about this in 2020.
Right? And the funny thing is, I'm doing a tournament in one of my, I have a whole bunch of Facebook groups that feed into my main IB Network page on Facebook, the fan page. And so an entertainment group, we're doing your favorite superhero tourney. And so the comic nerds come in, I'm one of them, but I try to chill. But the comic nerds come in and say, well, it's Robin against Harley Quinn. Well, which Robin? And the people are like, they were like, well, is it Dick Grayson? Is it Damian? Is it Jason Todd? You know, and we'll say, oh, Spider-Man. Does Spider-Gwen count? Does Miles Morales count? Like, you know, so it's like just those simple conversations can be so complicated of saying, do you like character A against character B? You have to simplify it because that's confusing.
That's what they
do. You've got 60 years of continuity or 100 years or whatever.
Yeah. So it's literally that simple.
It really is. For WandaVision, I thought it was two shows. I thought the show was at its best when, ironically, because I did think it started slow, I thought the show was at its best when it was using the sitcom format. To me, the last two episodes, it just kind of became like a Marvel movie and Age of Ultron / Ant-Man at that. I liked it, but I was a little disappointed. I thought we went the Ant-Man / Age of Ultron route at the last two episodes.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I think that's where, it's still a Marvel show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like how long can it last as a sitcom? You know, because to me, I was sitting there, I was like, yo, I'm cool with the sitcom thing because that was nice and original. But y'all going to have to get to the Marvel stuff eventually. You know, like you're going to have to give me something to connect or at least to push the bigger story. Because think about it. The MCU is about telling one large story. You know, so for me, when I'm looking at these shows, I'm like, yeah, okay, it's cool that I get to know Wanda, I get to know Falcon, Winter Soldier, but what's it going to do to the MCU? What is it telling me for the MCU? You know, like, you know, I'll give you one little theory right now. I believe that the purpose of WandaVision was, the main purpose was to give us an origin story for Scarlet Witch. That was the main purpose, right? Like, we learn about Wanda, we are sympathizing with Wanda, she's dealing with grief. We get all that. That's the main crux of it. But for the MCU, I'm sitting here looking at this of like, wait a minute, you just created the foundation of the bigotry and discrimination that the mutants deal with in X-Men. Because look at the way that the people of that town are looking at Wanda, and imagine how they're gonna feel about other superpowered individuals. It's going to be Sokovia all over again. You know, we're like, yeah, okay, y'all the Avengers, y'all doing these cool things, but y'all still hurting people too. Like, y'all are still a problem, you know, or you're a hero to this person, but you're a villain to these people. You know, so like WandaVision gave us that little bit of a sneak peek, you know, on a smaller level of the atmosphere that's about to take place in future Marvel properties, I think.
I do believe, if I'm correct, that Falcon and Winter Soldier comes out this Friday. I guess I think they're dropping them on Fridays like they did with WandaVision. You've seen the first episode at least, but I struggle. It's a big change from WandaVision, and I struggled to get excited, but I definitely was going to watch it before WandaVision. But now that I've watched WandaVision, I enjoyed it so much. I feel like it's just going to be a retread, because ultimately you have a show about Captain America, and you've seen a part of it, but you can tell me if I'm wrong or not. A show about Captain America that Captain America's not in.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. So keep in mind that this movie was, this show was supposed to come out first.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was supposed to kick off the MCU, but because of the pandemic and it got delayed, now it's coming in second, right? And it's sad because this would have been the perfect reintroduction.
Yeah.
After that long hiatus, this would have been perfect, you know, because the very first episode is very grounded. It's very, very grounded. I mean, you're going back basically to Captain America Winter Soldier, to that movie, that feel, that tone, you know, the story. So it's not, you know, you're not about to see a bunch of magic and, you know, powers and stuff like flying around. Like, no, this is a story about Sam and Bucky. That's it. You know, like, yeah, there's going to be some political stuff going on. There's probably going to be some social issues that they talk about, but this is the purpose of this show, at least from what I understand, is it's going to talk about the politics of the MCU after the blip, and maybe even during the blip. You know, like, what did happen during those 5 years? Because we don't know. You know, like, us, the audience, we don't know how things went down. Even in WandaVision, they kind of teased it with director Hayward, where he was like, you weren't here for those 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you over here trusting superpower individuals and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there like, what the heck happened?
What happened to you? Yeah.
Went down. Who hurt you? You know? So I think Falcon and Winter Soldier is also going to kind of tease that. And I mean, this isn't a major spoiler, but it does take place 6 months after everybody came back. So 6 months after.
Oh, because there's definitely some effects and a little rewind there. Okay. All right.
So,
and I'm going to watch it, but I'm definitely not going to watch. I'm not going to be up 4 o'clock in the morning like I was at WandaVision to avoid spoilers. I
mean, right. You don't have to. You don't. So far, anyway. So far. I mean, I wouldn't say that you have to for this, because the very first episode is the definition of setup. You know, like, it's, you know, you got a really dope action scene. Actually, you've already seen it in the trailers. You know, when you see Sam, that's it. It's great. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's really, really good. But you get the action scene. You're going to get a really nice backstory with Bucky, you know. And then you're going to see some real life issues that they are going through that's related to the MCU and the blip and all that, which is, again, it's a really interesting thing. Like, I don't want to say what they deal with, but, you know, they're dealing with real life issues that you'd be like, yeah, how would you deal with that if you're an Avenger or if you're Sam or whoever? Like, what would you do with this situation? So they do kind of get into those real life grounded perspectives and issues. And then at the very end, you know, they throw the little cliffhanger at you, which is going to get you a little bit more interested in episode two, you know? So, yeah, it's not something I would wait at 3 o'clock in the morning for. I know people will, just because of what WandaVision was like.
Yeah.
Cause you kind of had to, cause you ain't want the internet to ruin it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I got the Mandalorian spoiled for me, and I was so mad. Man. I'll never forgive it.
I'm so sorry.
It was so bad. Like, and it wasn't even, I pretty much curate my Twitter and my Facebook, and this was like a legitimate source that said Mark Hamill on that Mandalorian cameo. I'm like, well, SOB, obviously I know what his cameo was going to be if I watched the show. You know, I know what happened. So I never would know how I really felt about it, because it got spoiled.
You know, it's so funny you mention that, because that was one of the reasons that pushed me into becoming a film critic. Because, and I won't mention who it was, but a very prominent film critic at the time spoiled a movie. Like, he had said something in his review, and I was just like, what the heck? Like, now I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like I know, not just, oh, this little thing happened. No, like, I know the
movie.
You know
what's going to happen, yeah.
You know, and I was so mad. And it was one of the reasons why, like, when I do my reviews, and some people get upset about it, but I'm like, okay, go somewhere else, you know. But I do spoiler-free reviews. Like, my reviews are spoiler-free. Mm-hmm. You know, I give you the good, the bad, and the reason. And then I give you my rating, you know. And then it's one of those things where, like, if you haven't seen the movie, you know enough before you go into it. But, and if you have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've seen the Snyder Cut and you watch my spoiler-free review, you know the parts that I'm talking about and I'm referring to.
And you're also telling people if it's worth their time or not.
And that too. That too. You know, I mean,
and they trust you.
And you know, even that is getting kind of tricky nowadays because people have this assumption that you have to agree with me. You don't have to.
Yeah.
I'm always going to just give you my take. It's just my opinion. And if you, like, if you go watch the Snyder Cut and you think it's a 10 out of 10, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? If I came out less than that, that's also okay. You know, I am a strong believer that you should go watch what you want to watch and make up your own mind. And it's cool if you have a difference of opinion. It's obviously better if we all agree, but just do it respectfully. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go talk to my other movie friends and be like, man, I just did not care for The Irishman, you know, but I'm not going to knock you because you loved it.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I could be like, no, it was whack. No, it, you know, like, why he do that de-aging and he ain't do the rest of his body? And, you know, like, I can go, you know, poke fun at it or whatever, but I'm never going to be like, you're wrong for loving it, or, you know, I'm going to go tell people, don't go see this movie. Like, the only time I'm going to ever tell people not to see something is if I think, personally, it's just straight up offensive. You know, if I'm like, no, don't go see this because this movie is, like, berating Black people, you know, or it's insulting, you know, or it's, you know, demonizing this. And that's the only time. And I don't even think to this day I have a movie that I would say that about. You know, maybe Fantastic Four, because it's just that much of a train wreck.
It was pretty bad. But, it was pretty bad.
You know, pretty bad. I'm like, hey, if you have to go see, like, we look at car accidents, right? So if you just one of the people that want to see the car accident, I guess have fun. But yeah, man, that's where I'm at with that.
And I will say the name. It was comicbook.com. I think that's what it was. Comicbook.com on their Facebook feed. They spoiled me.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them out.
And I'm glad that people hold them to that. They were spoiling Walking Dead for a while. Jeez. They were spoiling a bunch of stuff.
Anything for some clicks. I'm like, that you should not do within 24 hours. Like, if you got your clickbait, but you should not give a major spoiler. Like, or at least do that thing that they do. Some of them do. They'll leave like a blank by the name, and that's not perfect. But
at least it's something.
Yeah, you know? It's an effort. But I had never had a show, you know, and I know who I follow, so I'd never had anybody spoil a major show in that way. And I went through the whole Game of Thrones thing, and like, I never got spoiled for Game of Thrones. Like, I just don't understand how they would do that. But let me shift gears here and ask you one more question here. Sure. You, if I am correct, watch, I read it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that you are in favor of recasting the Black Panther T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman role. Why? Yep. You're one of the first major people that I heard say that. I don't even know how I feel about it because it's such a thing, you know. But
it's a sensitive topic. Yeah, right? Like it's yes. So you know, I made the funny thing is this started off. Because I was watching Kevin Feige during the Disney Expo or whatever they were doing, the investors call, and you know, they're announcing everything. And I saw his announcement where he was like, yo, like Chadwick was so great. He was so wonderful. He is our T'Challa. And that's why we're not going to recast the role. And I was like, wait, what? What is that? What? And the reason why I was so shocked was because I was like, Marvel rarely ever will make a proclamation without giving some wiggle room. So when I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, wait a minute. Like, you said that definitively. You didn't say, we're not going to recast him for Black Panther. You didn't say, or, you know, Black Panther 2. You didn't say, we're not going to recast anytime soon. You know, like, there was no timestamp on there. So because of that, I was like, okay, if y'all are not going to recast, what does that mean? Are you going to make him a background character like Paul Walker in the Fast and Furious franchise, where he just kind of exists, but we just never see him again? And I'm like, if that's the case, that's going to be whack. Yeah. You know, like, if
it's if called Wakanda's Black getting Panther.
Attacked, what? Right. I mean, like, if Wakanda's getting attacked or something, like,
he's T'Challa's just chilling.
Busy? Like, he's just chilling somewhere? What are you doing? So I was like, oh my gosh, if y'all not going to recast, y'all going to kill him. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, because when the news came out about Chadwick, I cried. Like, I'm more for this dude. It was devastating. Like, I was doing a podcast with somebody else, and they told me in the middle of the podcast, and I had to leave. I was like, oh my God, like, this can't be true. This can't be true, you know? And I mean, I cried on video, not on purpose, because, like, I tried to get on video just to announce it and just tell people, like, man, you know, my man had cancer. Y'all go get checked out. And it was, like, all just thinking about all this stuff and how young he was and all. Like, I just broke down. You know what I'm saying? And for me, Chadwick was always one of my favorite actors because, you know, I got a chance to interview him. And when I got the chance to interview him, I was like, my career is done. I made it.
Yeah, he made it. Yeah, done. Yeah. You
know? So, and this is before Black Panther came out, you know. But, you know, to me, I just loved what he represented. And you're talking about like a genuine good dude. You're talking about a dude, especially now that we know what we know, right? Yeah. You're talking about a guy that was visiting kids that had cancer while he was fighting cancer, you know, and like being inspiration and stuff. And, you know, for me, he affected me both professionally and personally. Like, I ran donation drives to donate to the Colon Cancer Coalition because of what he did with Black Panther and the representation. I bought out a theater, you know, for my local community to come and watch it with me, you know? So it's like, he meant a lot to me because of what he did and what he represented. So the thought of no longer recasting him, I was like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me, because obviously we're all in our emotions about this, in 2022, after we've had enough time to heal and everything like that, you gonna kill him off again? How is that supposed to help us heal? Like that.
That's true.
How, like, you about to reopen that wound that we just took the time to heal from. So I was like, oh, hell no, no, recast. And then I started doing more research. I started researching every single speech, every single interview Chadwick made. This man was all about passing the torch. He was all about looking out for the next Black actor after him. He was so conscientious of other actors that he wouldn't even talk about the roles that he would turn down, because then it would look like the other actors were getting sloppy seconds, right? And I was like, my goodness, this dude is so thoughtful.
Yeah,
that clearly, I don't think he would. Oh, and this was Roland Martin, if you're familiar with him.
Yeah, I
am. He talked with Chadwick a couple weeks before he passed. And Chadwick told him, I think it was via text, that, yo, the roles that I take on, Black Panther, everything, Thurgood Marshall, whatever, the roles I take on are bigger than me. They're bigger than me. As in, they should be continued. They shouldn't. I don't believe that he would be okay with the role dying with him and stopping with him. And I think, and the reason why I'm kind of pushing for this crusade for recasting T'Challa is because people, and I understand for some people, there are a lot of objections. So if you indulge me a little bit, let me kind of engage them. Cause I know some people are sitting here already thinking a couple different things, like, well, sure, you know, somebody else can be the Black Panther. And what's the big deal? Like, what? Why does anyone care about T'Challa? T'Challa was literally the first mainstream Black character in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
to be the, he was created with the intention to be the anti-stereotype. He wasn't the chucking and jiving,
soul,
you know,
man kind of guy. Yeah.
Just a soul man brother of the 1960s. Keep in mind, it was 1966, right in the meat, in the heart of the civil rights movement. And he was made to be the polar opposite. He was basically the epitome of representation.
Yeah.
You know, he was the brilliant, multiple PhDs, athletic, you know, superhuman, independent king of an African nation, never been enslaved or colonized or influenced by anybody. And he was the most technologically advanced. You was ahead of the game at everything. What people don't realize, this man took on the Fantastic Four in 1966. That's like saying one person beating up the entire Justice League by themselves at that time. You know, so for me, I was like, he is the reason Blade exists. He's the reason why Storm exists. He's the reason why Luke Cage can be his own character. Like, if T'Challa didn't walk, people would not be able to run.
Yeah.
Black characters would have been supporting characters and sidekicks this whole time. And if you look at the MCU, he is at this time the only leading main Black character. All the other Black characters in the MCU are supporting characters. That includes Falcon. That includes Rhodey, War Machine. That includes Shuri. That, like, everyone is a side character. He was the only main character, just like in the comics, in the MCU. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, first of all, my man is literally Black history. Okay, yeah. The character of T'Challa, he is literally Black history. Now, let's address that other point that I know people were thinking about. Why don't you give the mantle to somebody else? There have been other Black Panthers. Shuri could be the Black Panther too. None of that matters. It's all irrelevant. This is not about the mantle. It's about the character and significance of T'Challa. While T'Challa, he has 55 years of stories, okay, like in the comics. The mantle has been passed around, all around. Shuri had it, Killmonger had it, M'Baku had it, like a bunch of people have had the mantle, and T'Challa is always the center. He's still always there. Matter of fact, I would also argue he is the best mode of representation for Black women. T'Challa is the one that uplifts Black women in his life. He's the one that trains Shuri. He's the one that supports Shuri while she is the queen. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, how many times do we always hear about Black women saying, Black men, y'all need to protect us. Y'all got to defend us. That's what T'Challa does. He literally does that. He steps aside to uplift the Dora Milaje, to uplift Shuri and stuff. Like, that's actually what Chadwick was doing as T'Challa in the first Black Panther movie. If you really go back and look, he was letting the women shine.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? He wasn't trying to overtake them. He was stepping aside, like, yeah, I'm still the king, I'm still the Black Panther, but watch out for that Dora Milaje. Hey, check out my smart sister here. He was still giving them shine. So when you take that away, what ends up happening is, I believe, we start to play into, and this might be inadvertent, I'm not blaming Ryan Coogler or anybody of doing this intentionally, but we play into the racist, discriminatory Hollywood math that ends up happening in the industry. And what I mean by that is, when it comes to popular, fictional white characters, Superman, Batman, James Bond, Spider-Man, they get recast day after day after day after day. They ain't never been... It would be inconceivable if somebody said, we're not going to recast Superman. We're not going to recast James Bond. We're not going to recast Spider-Man. Nobody would... A studio executive would lose their job immediately.
Quickly.
If they said that. Do you not like money?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So... the white superpowered popular characters, they get that discriminatory Hollywood math of addition and multiplication. But for Black characters, we get substitution, division, and subtraction. I'm sitting here, I'm like, wait a minute. Why is it that you have to, your response to me is, let's get rid of T'Challa, but hey, we'll uplift Shuri. I'm like, wait, we can't have both? What, the comics uplifted both? Why can't they both succeed? Why do we have to have a crabs in a barrel mentality where it's only one black person can shine and not the others? I feel like that's counter to what T'Challa and Black Panther as a whole stands for. It shouldn't, we shouldn't have to play a either or game. This should be an and type of situation, just like you would with everybody else. I mean, look at Spider-Man. They brought in Miles Morales, right? You still saw Peter Parker there. I mean, yeah, they played with the multiverse or whatever, and you know, into the Spider-Verse, but they didn't get rid of Peter Parker. You know, when he came up in the comic books and Miles was getting popular, they didn't get rid of Peter Parker. He's still there. And I'm sitting here saying, like, yo, I want y'all to keep that same energy with T'Challa. After the success of Black Panther, the movie, the rise, the popularity, and the huge expectations, you need to fulfill that character to live on.
But do you think it's because, do you think some of the hesitancy is because of A, whoever has to follow him, that's a hell of a job. And B, it's because, I mean, he died. So it's like, is it on their thing? Is it, it isn't just that, you know, we're tired of Pierce Brosnan. You know, we're done with Christopher Reeves or whatever. It's that he actually died, and some people might feel like moving on is disrespectful.
Sure. Now, let me, okay, so let me ask that. Let me respond to that. First of all, with the follow-up actor, right? As I mentioned before, like, Chadwick was all about passing the torch.
Yeah, and that was a good point you made.
He was all about that. Like, every time he would bring on a young black person on his, like, 21 Bridges, you know, him and his co-star, like, he was like, man, I'm trying to, like, open up the gate for this young brother, you know, to do his thing. He would always go back to his HBCU, Howard University, to uplift those other black actors, because guess what? He had gotten a handout, well, not a handout, but, you know, he got a helping hand from Denzel Washington and Angela Bassett. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people helped him, and that inspired him to help those that come behind him. So Chadwick would be all for, I believe, I think I could strongly say that, he'd be all for another black brother to pick up that baton and run with the character, because he also knows that the character is important. His agent said he never took on a role that he didn't think was really, really important. You know, so what I would say to the point about an actor feeling nervous or whatever, or maybe even fans, you know, maybe fans are like, man, whoever plays him, we gonna trash him or whatever. It's not true, because the thing is, fans are like sports fans. You could have a losing sports team, but guess what wins? Winning wins over people. If you have a trash team, but you bring in a Tom Brady, you know, you bring in a LeBron James, all of a sudden you like, hey, I think we got some championship aspirations here, you know? Like, so, you know, like that's what I'm kind of, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if you bring in a quality actor, not some new person, I wouldn't bring in somebody just fresh and new. You got to bring in somebody with a little cachet and somebody who we know, but we didn't know was so good. And that's why I've mentioned people like Yahya Abdul-Mateen, the second brother that played Black Manta, you know, brother that played Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series.
HBO like, show, yep.
Yeah, on the HBO show. If you, like, you know his face, he's not like, or Aldis Hodge, you know, like, if you want to go that route. Some other people have tossed around John David Washington, you know, after seeing him in Tenet. You know, people are like, oh man, he can act.
He can do it. Yeah, he can do it.
Like, he can do it. So my thing is, like, you know, when you get somebody with some name cachet, but that also has talent, because you can't just throw in anybody with a name. You got to actually have some talent too to win people over. People will be convinced, because for us, well, not me per se, but for the average person, they don't have the perspective of a casting director or a Hollywood director. You go to a movie to look for entertainment. Mm-hmm. You don't look for who's actually got skill, who's actually got, you know, it's the same way, like, we go as sports fans to watch people entertain us, the slam dunk, throw the touchdowns. We're not talent scouts. We're not coaches. We're not looking at how's his agility, how's his speed skills, how's his jumping. We're not looking for that stuff. You know, so for us, we are not the best gauge of talent. And it's how many times have we been proven wrong? We clowned the internet, clowned Heath Ledger when he was announced to be Joker. That was like the guy from A Knight's Tale? The dude from Brokeback Mountain? Him? Y'all want him as Joker? Oh, yeah, no.
Being one of the great performances of all time.
Yeah. They was like, man, I can't see nobody else except Jack Nicholson. He's the only person that can be Joker. And what happened? He blew us away. And what happened even after that? My man passed away. It was tragic. You know, and people was like, man, can't nobody be Joker after him. Joaquin Phoenix walks through the door, wins Best Actor for the role.
You skipped the guy.
I did. I did. You right. You know.
For good
now,
reason.
Now, to be fair, that also supports my
the
point.
Theory,
though,
yeah. Even the villains. That you made me think of that. Even the villains, they'll recast them.
They will recast him with all the energy because they care about the character. They had two Jokers right after that, after his passing, you know. And they was going to do, like, multiple Joker movies. Some of them got nixed. But, you know, that was the thing. They were planning on that. Like I said, that discriminatory Hollywood math. They will put all that energy in the white popular characters. But the one time we have the most popular black leading fictional character, who I would argue has all the potential to be the next Iron Man, the next Captain America on that level, they don't want to recast him. I get it. It's for emotional reasons, but what are you doing? Now, to the question of whether or not this was disrespectful, I would argue that it's not disrespectful. If anything, it's actually more honoring than anything. Like I said, I have strong reason to believe that Chadwick would be in line with this. Not to mention this, Chadwick Boseman, what are we doing? We're talking about trying to honor somebody, right? Was Black Panther his only role? Are we supposed to only remember him for that? I'm sitting here thinking like, yo, if I want to honor Chadwick Boseman, can I honor the man for everything he did? Can I honor him for Jackie Robinson, for James Brown, for Thurgood Marshall, for T'Challa, and for his fantastic award caliber performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom? My man was an actor's actor. He was the actor that other actors looked at. He was the actor that would be like, you know what, forget Hollywood, let me go do this Broadway play. I think it's actually more disrespectful to limit this man's work and his life to just honoring him as T'Challa in this one role. I believe we should uplift Chadwick, the human being, because he was more than T'Challa. But at the same time, we can uplift and fulfill the character of T'Challa, because that continues the work that this man put his blood, sweat, and tears into building. He was playing this role with cancer, and in his contract, he had the idea of playing in Black Panther 3. He knew he had cancer, and he was still dedicated to playing beyond Black Panther 2. All the way to Black Panther 3. That's how much he believed in the character. He didn't sign no one-year contract like, all right, yeah, whatever. He believed in it. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, if my man had that much foresight, if we kill it right there, it defeats all the work that he put into it. Because the one question I'll ask just anybody who thinks it's disrespectful, how do you kill a legacy? How do you kill a legend? By stopping the story. Nobody remembers a legend that doesn't have their story retold for the ages. Mm-hmm. We remember Hercules because you always see a Hercules. You got a TV show, you got him as a character, you got him as a movie, you see that. Has anyone talked about in casual conversation, you tell me in your nerd spheres, groups and stuff, has anyone talked about the Bionic Man or the $6 Million Man?
Been a while.
Been a while, right? Like, not even in casual conversation. Last time I heard about it was Mark Wahlberg maybe doing a movie, and that fell through, right? Why? Nobody talks about him. Nobody under the age of 20 knows who he is. because the role has never been recast. We still remember Christopher Reeves. Why? Because Henry Cavill's Superman. And because we've always had Superman. Mm-hmm. We still remember Sean Connery, Roger Moore. These are people that have passed away, and we still remember them because there's a Daniel Craig. The roles keep the memories alive. So if we really sit here talking about, yo, we got to remember Chadwick and let's respect his memory, keep the role going. Let's not kill his work. I don't want all his work to die literally with him. That's how he will get forgotten. Because you have to think about the attention span of a lot of moviegoers too. In 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, and by the way, Marvel does not reboot. People are under the false assumption that Marvel reboots. They don't even reboot in their comics. They do soft changes. You know, even the multiverse might be a soft change, but everything else still counts. So they're not about to be like, all right, everybody, let's stop. And then let's do an Iron Man movie in like 20 years and start all over. That's not what's going to happen. They're just going to keep this story going, which means if y'all don't recast, that means you kill his character right then and there.
Forever.
And maybe, let's just say Shuri's super popular. Let's just say that happens. And then let's say, you know, another 10 years from now, you know, Killmonger Jr. or I don't know, whoever, you know, takes on the mantle at that point. Like, who's going to care about T'Challa at that point, 20 years from now? Who's going to care about him? They'll care more about the mantle than they will about the character. And that's why I'm like, no, like, keep my man going. Y'all didn't kill him in the animated cartoons that you got going. You didn't kill him in the comic books that's been going on for 55 plus years. Why are you stopping him here?
You've definitely made your case to me. I think you bring about some really good points, because it's just, it would. And then when you look at the racial aspect of it, you're cutting off our most popular African American character. Yeah. Basically, at this point after the movie, if you ask a regular person a black superhero, and they would say, they might not say T'Challa, but they would say Black Panther. Like, it made him a household name.
Right.
We don't have a household name that my mama would know. That, you know, that people that don't have anything to do with comics would know.
Yeah. And let me also kind of dispel something else, because people are making this conflation, and that we really shouldn't do this. Chadwick is not T'Challa. T'Challa is not Chadwick. They're two separate people that should both, two separate figures that should be honored separately. You know, like I said, Chadwick was more than just T'Challa. This man was a humanitarian. He was a phenomenal actor, a great husband. You know what I'm saying? He was a great human being. T'Challa is a huge, significant figure, especially with representation and historical heritage for the genre. They both need to be respected on their own levels. So when we sit here and be like, nah, man, you know, Black Panther is T'Challa. No. Black Panther is a mantle. It can go to anybody. T'Challa is T'Challa.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't want to happen, I don't want this to fuel the crabs in a barrel mentality, where some people are like, oh, well, if Shuri gets the title, I'm not going to support it. Like, wait a minute. Hold on now. Like, this is still for the culture now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's just
still for us.
A little sexism creeping in there.
Right. Like, I don't want to fuel any type of sexism or division. That's why I tell people, this is not about Shuri. Don't put that in there. Because this is not about her.
It's two different topics.
I don't care if she, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind if she has the title. It's okay. She had it in the comics. But guess what? T'Challa was still alive too. You know? I mean, my man was in a coma. She was doing her thing.
Yeah, but he was around.
And he woke up. And he was around. So to me, I'm just saying like, yo, I'm not even saying y'all have to recast today. I'm not even saying you have to do that. But get off this indefinite stuff. Get off this idea, because people have falsely believed that Marvel was only going to do this for Black Panther 2. That's not true. They never said that. They doubled down and said, no, we're just not recasting. So that's kind of the big problem there, where, you know, these people are just kind of like not seeing the danger of what will eventually happen. And I'm just trying to get ahead of the curve, because right now I'm trying to drum up awareness to show Marvel that we do care about T'Challa. Mm-hmm. And I understand that some people don't know how much they care about him. And I don't want them to find out after they realize they get rid of his character in Black Panther 2 and everybody's sitting there like, oh man, what the hell? Like, what did you guys do? That'll be too late at that point. So I'm just trying to get ahead of the curve so that way we can get this together early. And hey, if Marvel wants to be like, oh, we was never going to do that. Yeah, okay, hey man, whatever.
Y'all whatever, we're good, we're right good. Right now,
do whatever you got to do. Because I think that there's a false notion out there that Black folks can't juggle or handle emotional pain. And I'm like, we've been doing that for centuries.
This is what we do.
it's sad, but we are the masters of juggling pain and joy at the same time.
This has been great, man. We got on that passionate topic that we both very passionate about. I really do appreciate it. Let everybody know one more time where they can reach you and anything else you want to say and promote.
Yeah. E-Man's Movie Reviews, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow all of them because I throw different things on different platforms. Of course, you know, all the videos are going to be on YouTube, so you can catch the interviews, the theories, the reviews there. Facebook fan page. If you like movie news, memes, apparently people really like the movie memes. So if
they're
you want
funny, a laugh, you gave some good ones.
If you want a good laugh and have a good time, come and check out the Facebook page. The Twitter, I'll say, it's low key. I don't have a big following there, and I'm okay with that. But you will see more of my thoughts there. You know, like I will be a little bit more unfiltered on Twitter. So you definitely want to follow me there. And of course, you know, Instagram is same thing. So as for what's coming up, you've got Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'll be breaking those down weekly as well. And I'll be doing live videos every Friday around 7:00. And that's just basically for all of us to kind of come together after we watch the video or the episode and just, you know, talk about it, you know, just react to whatever things happen, go over it. And then of course I give you my full breakdown of the episodes. And I do have some interviews that you definitely want to check out, very soon. So, that is about it. I'm sure I got some other stuff coming up, but y'all got to subscribe so you don't miss out.
All right, appreciate it, man. This was absolutely great.